has enough votes after a closed meeting of GOP senators. A final vote is expected to happen later today on the complex package of tax cuts and reforms. All Democrats are expected to vote no, calling the bill a big gift to the wealthy. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
Colonel Sanders here with another important holiday message from KFC. This year, don't get the ones you love some lame, boring gift like a new car or jewelry or toys or expensive electronics or any other junk. Nope, get that special someone what they really want. Exactly! A KFC $5 fill-up with 100% white meat popcorn chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, a biscuit, a cookie, and a drink. It's a perfect gift for all those important people in your life who get hungry right around lunchtime. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Available for a limited time only. Pricing and participation may vary. Tax extra.
President Trump is not happy at the outcome of the trial involving a man who's been deported five times.
On Twitter, President Trump called the verdict regarding Jose Garcia Zarate disgraceful. Zarate found not guilty on Thursday of murder charges for the 2015 shooting death of Kate Steinle in San Francisco. Trump also tweeted, "Build the wall." For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
There's another sexual harassment scandal on Capitol Hill. It was revealed today that Texas Republican Congressman Blake Farenthold settled a sexual harassment claim lodged by a former employee for $84,000. The revelation represents the first taxpayer-funded settlement of its kind that has so far been made public. A Tampa woman will receive a $110,000 reward for providing the tip that resulted in the arrest of a suspected serial killer. Mayor Bob Buckhorn told a news conference today that McDonald's manager Delonda Walker will receive the huge reward for helping her community, quote, in the face of sheer terror. Tampa police arrested Howell Donaldson on Tuesday after Walker told officers about seeing a loaded gun in his bag at work. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender involves much more than just a rate. Quicken Loans has earned 11 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. No one else has anything like it. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
An attorney for embattled Michigan Congressman John Conyers is saying again today the 88-year-old Democrat will not resign. Arnold Reed said Conyers' accuser and former employee Marion Brown was embellishing what happened between her and the congressman. Reed said that Brown's claims to NBC yesterday that Conyers had, quote, violated her body and frequently propositioned her were untrue. He said Conyers had even hired a female relative of Brown's and asked why Brown would have wanted her to work in the office if she felt unsafe. Reed said Conyers would make a decision regarding his future in Congress in the coming days once he was feeling better. Jared Kushner is reportedly the very senior member of the Trump presidential transition team who's referred to in court documents in the Michael Flynn plea deal. NBC News says Kushner is the person who directed Flynn to contact officials from foreign governments, including Russia. Flynn has pleaded guilty to lying to FBI agents about talks with the Russian ambassador to the U.S. Kushner is now a senior White House advisor and President Trump's son-in-law. It's the 105th year of Operation Santa for the post office.
Merry Christmas!
These 7-year-olds got to meet Santa.
I have been nice to my mom. I want a teddy bear. Thank you, Santa. Love, Madeline.
Dear Santa, can I please have a scooter for Christmas?
But not every child got to hand their letter directly to Santa. The post office receives millions every year, and Operation Santa has its employees become elves and respond to fulfill a wish. And in many locations, post offices encourage folks to participate. Scott Pringle, New York.
I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
Well, good afternoon, and we're going to start the sports guys in a minute, but let's talk about the weather. We've actually had some, I think, unseasonably warm weather, but then maybe I'm always thinking Bill is here, and I'm always thinking that, I remember growing up in Wisconsin, in December we'd definitely have snow.
Pat, this has got to be like summer for you, for Wisconsiners and Minnesotans, because this has got to be a day where you go to the beach on Lake Michigan, right?
Well, I can tell you that my office is situated in a way where I get the sun And it has been, you know, the sun has been increasing the temperature in the office 3, 4, 5 degrees just because of that solar power. So in any event, what's happening as far as the weekend? Well, Bill, although you won't be going back to your boat, the day to do it would be on Sunday. It's going to be sunny and 50 degrees. Tomorrow it'll be partly sunny and 49 degrees, but the should be very pleasant and very pleasant on Sunday for the parade here in Flemington. Sunday night mostly clear, tonight partly cloudy, and it is freezing though. It's going to be 27 tonight, low of 27, low of 28 on Sunday night, and same thing Saturday night will be partly cloudy, low of about 26 degrees. But Monday we should have another mostly sunny day, expecting about a 51 degrees. And into Tuesday, however, there's an expectation of showers, at least a chance of showers on Tuesday, and probably likely to have showers on Tuesday night. So I guess the big thing to talk about is your fabulous Eagles.
Well, Pat, you know, every silver lining has its cloud. Although the Eagles are 10-1, and they're going to be playing Seattle this weekend, I think it's a 4 o'clock game, we know that my Philadelphia Flyers have managed to lose 10 games in a row. Now, when a hockey team loses 10 games in a row, something's pretty bad. I'm hoping that we can continue to see a patient Ron Hextall. I'd like to see Dave Hextall continue to develop his rookies and his first and second year men so that we can all begin to see the Flyers turn into a good hockey team. It seems that some nights they get the goaltending, but other nights they don't. And then when they do get the goaltending, there are defensive lapses or the goalie gets hung out to dry. Additionally, we haven't really seen a good Robert Nyworth yet. Maybe he needs a little bit more time to round into form. But Brian Elliott, who they picked up from the Calgary Flames after the Flames decided not to re-sign him, seems to be the real thing. He's a good goaltender. He plays well. He is almost never out of position unless something really oddball happens. And he seems to have a real good sense of the people around him. Meanwhile, Flyers forward Wayne Simmons has got 12 goals. Shane Couturier, who was moved up from the third line as a defensive specialist, is now playing on the first line with Voracek and Giroux, and that line has become very productive for Philadelphia. Unfortunately, we've seen an awful lot of defensive lapses. One terrible one in the offensive zone, Scott Laughton was soft on getting to a puck. Calgary picked up the puck that he was 5 feet away from. He was too busy admiring the puck to go get it and grab it and either make a pass or fire it on the Calgary net. Calgary brought the puck into the Flyer zone, and after about 30 seconds of some very crisp passing, managed to pop one in. Flyers probably have had more one-game or overtime losses than any other team in the league. And right now, they're 8-10-7, so I call them 8-17. The Flyers seem like they're designed to lose just about every game by one goal or by in a shootout or in overtime. They haven't played as bad as their record, but like they say in football, you're only as good as your record. Meanwhile, the New Jersey Devils made a trade and picked up a very, very good defenseman from the L.A. Kings today. Although they wanted to pick up Kirk Shatterkirk from who ended up with the New York Rangers, they made a deal sending Adam Henriquez and a minor leaguer to the Sharks, and the Sharks sent back Valtunen, a very good defensive player, good defenseman, good shot, good speed, forward and backward, can run a power play. So I think the Devils just made themselves stronger. Additionally, the Devils also are going to get a third-round draft choice. But let's talk about those Eagles.
Well, it's about time. I would have thought that you'd be crowing about the Eagles nonstop. I mean, when have they had this kind of a record?
Well, the answer is never. This is the best. This is the best we've seen the Philadelphia Eagles do in my lifetime. And I remember the last time they actually won at all was 1960 when I was 8 years old, and Pete Retzlaff, I think, was the quarterback. What's going on is very interesting. When you listen to Doug Peterson talk, he said this is a team that practices as hard as they play. And they voluntarily come out and practice some really oddball things on special teams.
Yeah, but come on, Bill.
Make a conscious effort to avoid penalties.
I understand that, but this is still pretty phenomenal.
Oh, it most certainly is, but it's the result of a lot of hard work during the week.
Well, it definitely is, but, you know, all the teams work hard during the week. So this has just been some kind of a magical season. When we sat here last year, before the beginning of the season, I know that I thought that the Cowboys were really going to be very tough to beat. I never expected that they would have as many losses as they've had. Now, granted, they did a great job in the game last night. What was it, 31 10. Or 30-something to 10?
It was 38-10.
Yeah, so I guess I didn't see the end of it. But they really did, and, I'm not saying the Cowboys aren't a good team, but am I right to think that if, in fact, the Cowboys had lost last night, that the Eagles would have clinched the division?
That is correct. Remember, the Eagles have... Dallas has played 12 games and they're 6-6. Eagles have played 11 games and they're 10-1. I'll brag for a minute. But it's still possible, had Dallas lost last night, the Eagles mathematically would have been crowned champs of the NFC East. Now remember, the NFC East has been considered a somewhat weaker division for many years. Just like the AFC East, where really the only strong team was New England. But the Eagles have managed to put it together this year. And last year you could see it beginning to happen, and even the year before. You may remember last year, Game 3, Carson Wentz defeated the Super Bowl-bound Atlanta Falcons with three touchdowns in Week 3 or Week 4.
And that was pretty amazing because... especially when you look at what happened to the Packers when they played the Falcons.
That's exactly right. But when you go back to it, you've got to realize that the reason the Eagles did not make the playoffs last year and seem certainly playoff bound this year is they have begun to put good people around Carson Wentz. Last year, they also have seen those guys develop into talented possession-type receivers. They also managed to pick up Alshon Jeffries from the Bears. He was a great free agent signing. He's got tremendously soft hands. He's got good control of his body. He manages to catch balls inbounds and keep his feet inbounds while he has control of the ball. And he's also managed to run very crisp routes. So I think the Bears made a mistake not signing him. But then again, he wanted to play for a much better team and a much better quarterback who would deliver the ball to him. The Eagles have also seen the blossoming of Zach Ertz, who has been an Eagle now for 5 years.
And what
years.
About the coaching?
We'll get to that in a minute, Pat. Coaching has been good. The clock management has been good. But Zach Ertz has finally proven, again, another possession-type tight end. He can block. He can catch. He can also take the short pass and give you 8-9 yards when you need it. Additionally, what's happened is we've also seen the maturation of Nelson Aguilar. Nelson Aguilar, as you remember, was a first-round draft choice.
I do remember. In fact, I think he's been he's really coming into his own this year.
He certainly is. He spent an entire off-season at a private wide receivers camp at his own expense learning how to catch. Yes.
Wow.
Learning how to control his body, learning how to run a nice, crisp, tight route, and learning how to catch a ball in traffic when he's double covered. The advantage, though, that Aguilar has had is that he's not experienced the double coverage that he's had in the past because Alshon Jeffries is drawing more attention.
And, you know, that's often what teams don't recognize, that they just can't have one person out there because then they can be, you know, then they know who to double cover. And you have to have a number of people who are threats. And
That's
always been the situation in Green Bay. And, of course, actually, I don't know if you watched the Packer-Steeler game. It was really a good game. I mean,
it
I have to
tell
game.
You. It was a
good game.
I only got to see the highlights because we were coming back from a family outing. But the Packers showed that Hundley is a quarterback, and he can play. Obviously, nobody's Aaron Rodgers except Aaron Rodgers, and perhaps Carson Wentz may get there someday, but he's got a lot to show first. The problem that I see, though, with the Eagles is the concern I have over letdowns. Once you get to the playoffs, it's a whole different ball game. Everybody's going to be gunning for the Eagles. They're going to be studied very carefully from now until January to see whether they've got any holes. The other thing you should notice is the Eagles' defense has been absolutely smothering. Chicago, not a terrible team on defense, gave up 31 points and only scored 3. Chicago, if they only scored 3 points, quite frankly, they stunk out Lincoln Financial Field. And when they got back to Chicago and got to the locker rooms the next day, well, nobody had bothered to clean up the pre-Thanksgiving sushi party they had, so their locker room smelled as bad in Chicago as their defense smelled on the field at Lincoln Financial Field. So all I'm going to say about the Chicago Bears is too bad. Meanwhile, the Packers, what is it that makes the Packers just a one-trick pony this year? Is Aaron Rodgers everything? We see with Carson Wentz of the Eagles that the fact that he can run the ball and keeps defenses honest and keeps them from dropping back into coverage too quickly because a couple of people have to rush him and watch him. But you notice the Eagles have managed to stay healthy. Wentz has managed to stay healthy. And I think if Wentz were to get hurt, they would simply plug in Nick Foles. He has good people to throw to. He can hand the ball off to Blount or Smallwood, even though Smallwood's not the biggest guy. And each of these guys can pretty much promise you 4 or 5 yards a carry if they get the blocking. And
well,
they have been getting good run blocking.
The problem with the Packers is they've really been, so many of the guys have been hurt. I mean, the running back is what, the third string. He's a rookie. They really expected a lot of him, and he's doing a good job. But Montgomery was out. I haven't seen, now Matthews was more prominent in the last game, but the one thing that Huntley does not seem to be doing is connecting with Jordy Nelson. If you look, his go-to person pretty much is Cobb, Adams, Cobb, but for some reason, he has not been connecting with Jordy Nelson to the extent that, you know, you'd like him to, or I'd like him to do. They could have won the game against the Steelers. I mean, that just came down to that final field goal.
That's right.
You know, it really, the Packers, you know, looked good. Huntley looked good. He was throwing well. He can obviously run. And every once in a while, he looks a little bit like Rodgers. And the one thing that is really interesting to see is that Rodgers is truly mentoring him. But I guess what we didn't see, from what people are telling me, is that Rodgers was out there on the field.
He'd begun to throw again.
He began to throw again. Now, I think that unless, you know, they're playing Tampa Bay this week in Green Bay, if Huntley could have won that game against the Steelers, and they were really not expected to do as well as they did against the Steelers, but if the Packers could have won that game and then this game, they'd still be in the running. But unfortunately, I don't think they're going to be able to catch Minnesota.
I don't think so. Minnesota at 8-2 has really put it all together. They look stronger every week. It wouldn't surprise me if they met the Eagles in an NFC championship. I don't want to get too far out ahead of myself, because what Carson Wentz and Pedersen and many of the other Eagles have said, we really just want to take this a week at a time. Yes, we're 10-1, but, you know, we're 0-0 every Sunday morning, as far as we're concerned, and we have something to prove every Sunday. The other thing is they want to give their fans a good, hard-played, entertaining game, and they want to be sure that their defense is shutting down the other team's offense as quickly and as effectively as possible. With Fletcher Cox back and healthy, with Damian Walker back and healthy, the Eagles have a healthy defense with all starters for the first time this year. So I think they just get stronger on defense. And as the safeties and cornerbacks get even more and more familiar with how the linebackers are playing and shutting off lanes and bumping and slowing down some of the wide receivers on the other team, we're going to see more and more Eagle interceptions. I'm an admirer of Russell Wilson, but I don't think he has the guys to throw to that the Eagles have.
Well, of course, the part of the problem with Huntley was not this past week with the Steelers, but the week before. I think he threw 5 interceptions. And that, to me, the difference between Rodgers is it's very hard for defensive guys to follow his eyes. And I think that's one of the critical things, is that good defense guys, if they can see where that quarterback is going to throw, they have almost a 50, I think they have almost a 50-50 chance of getting the ball if they can really figure out where that ball is going to be thrown. And with Rodgers, they can't. Huntley obviously has not been able to disguise where he's throwing the ball in the same way. And I'm not saying that all of the interceptions were his fault, but you know, he's young and he's going to make mistakes, and I don't think it's fair. Obviously, it's not fair to hold him up to the standard of Wentz or even Dak Prescott, because he's just not there. Now, one of the things that most of us Packer fans had probably forgotten, that he's been with the Packers for 3 years.
Well, remember something. Just because he's been with the Packers for 3 years, this is really the first year where he's had in-game reps and where he's been the guy.
Well, of course, but the point is he's been sitting behind Rodgers, and, you know, with that, I mean, he's had not the experience of playing, obviously, but he's had, I think, a great mentor. I mean, if you watch Rodgers and you watch the two of them on the sidelines, Rodgers is really working to help him out, which is something that I don't think Rodgers ever got from Favre.
I can't speak to that, Pat, but what I can tell you is that there have been rumblings in Green Bay, or so I have heard, about McCormick. What's your take on that?
And McCarthy?
Yeah, McCarthy, the coach.
Well, you know, I've never liked McCarthy, so I'm not... I don't think he's a great coach. I think what has happened is he's been very lucky because he's had such good players. Remember, I think that the Packers have had two quarterbacks. I mean, they've really had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it seems to me, if I recall, the statistics is there were 19 different Bears to start at quarterback since 1991. And since that time, it's been Brett Favre and Rodgers, except for when Rodgers was hurt. Then I'm trying to remember who the quarterback was. Came in and...
The guy off the taxi or practice squad. I remember.
Well, whoever it was got a lot of money when he went. I can't remember. But he came in, and in fact, I think at one point, I think in one game, threw 5 touchdown passes. I mean, he really did a great job on one of those games. But the fact is, I think the Packers, maybe there were possibly 2 other quarterbacks that played for a game or two since 1991. And so my point is, I'm not a big McCarthy fan. I think he has had just an exceptional group of people since he came in. I thought Holmgren was a better coach, frankly. I really liked Holmgren. I hated it when he left the Packers. And, of course, we know how legendary Lombardi was. So what are you hearing about McCarthy?
Well, the story is that although they're not blaming him for a bad season because of the injuries, they're saying that... the defense that the Green Bay Packers have shown this year has been substandard. Clay Matthews looks like he's playing hurt. When he is playing, I don't see him getting off the line as quickly as he has in the past. I'm also seeing Haha Clinton Dix, who came down on another Packer the other day for saying that he quit during the game 2 weeks ago. But Clinton Dix looks like he is playing hurt. It looks like he's lost a step. And I noticed that in the game last week, people were getting a step on him, or 2 steps. And a couple of balls were caught in traffic. And he seems to be very good at preventing catches in traffic without committing pass interference penalties. And suddenly it seems like he's either lost a step because he's hurt or somebody has figured out how to play him.
Well, and I think you're right about the defense. I mean, there were... other than I know in the Bears game, and even in the game, when I saw the game at New Orleans playing in Lambeau, the defense just wasn't there. Now, they did intercept a couple times, and then the offense couldn't do anything. But I've not been impressed with the defense, and I frankly think they've gotten rid of a few players that they should have kept. There was that... dual threat for 3 or 4 years.
Peppers?
I'm talking about Peppers. I think that was, I know he was, as I believe he was free agent, but they should have done what they needed to do to keep him. I know he played for many, many years with the Bears, but I think the fact that they had Peppers, that they had that dual threat, so that also enabled Matthews and Daniels to do some things And, you know, I just thought that was a... I questioned why in the world they wouldn't have kept him. I know they'd have to pay him probably more money than they wanted, but I just think that that was a bad decision.
Well, it's 5:30, and it's time for us to break for some commercials.
Yeah, I guess
Pat,
we should.
Let's come back to that topic in a few moments, because we know Green Bay is a small market team, and you think that had some influence on this? Let's come back and talk about that issue right after our commercial break.
Okay, well, thanks for reminding me.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, okay, Bill, we're back. We're still missing John. I really wanted to talk to John today about what he had to think about Eli Manning. But before we do that, the one thing you were talking about is Clay Matthews. You know, he went out with a groin injury in the Ravens game, and I think
you're right.
He is not back. And then, I mean, I do have to say, you know, we've had some, you know, huge injuries. I mean, Bulaga has been out. Bakhtiari has been out. Ty Montgomery went down. And then Aaron Jones came in, and I really liked what he was doing. I think he was faster than Aaron Jones. I mean, I think he was faster than Ty Montgomery, but really looked like that there was going to be, that position was going to be filled, and they were going to do some great work. Now we have Jamal Williams, who actually has done, I've been pleased to see what he's been doing. He's a rookie. I think that was a good choice. But can you imagine they're down to the third person in that position?
It just goes to show you, getting back to my original point, they should have re-signed Julius Peppers. But do you think that's the impact of a small market team not wanting to spend the money and staying under a cap?
Well, what difference? They have the same cap as everyone else.
Right, but sometimes they use it for more. Sometimes they pay the same number of players a lot more money. Do you think there was a question of money, or do you think they just didn't think there was much upside left to Julius Peppers?
I have no idea. I just think it was a mistake. And you know,
I agree,
one of
it was
things,
a big mistake.
One of the things that I noticed in the Ravens game is, you know, Flacco really has a great arm and a lot of accuracy. I know he sticks in the pocket, stays in the pocket, but you know, he was doing a terrific job hitting his guys for the most part.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Flacco seems to be very accurate. The thing that always excites me is when he releases a ball to somebody, to a wide receiver who's at the 30, and the guy manages to pull the ball in at the 5. There's just something incredibly beautiful about the way he can connect on those long bombs.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I guess, you know, we don't...
I'm no Ravens fan, believe me.
Well, but Packers don't play the Ravens that often, so I don't usually watch, you know, I'm not usually watching the Ravens play, but I have to tell you, I was very impressed with Flacco and a few other people on that team. I mean, Flacco is very accurate. I mean, he, you know, he's not the player that Aaron Rodgers is. He can't run
around. He's not mobile.
He's not mobile, but, you know, if he can stay in the pocket, he's very accurate.
There's one thing I noticed about Flacco is that if he can't make a pass, he will eat the ball and take the sack as close to the line of scrimmage as he possibly can. I've seen him take two steps up, look around, realize that the play is going nowhere, and just fall down and let somebody touch him.
Well,
he's
better,
managed to avoid injuries.
Yeah, well, better that than throwing an interception.
Right.
And exactly. I don't know what his record is as far as throwing interceptions, but I can imagine it's not.
Well, you're
he's
right.
He's got a great record.
You're right. He doesn't throw as many interceptions as other quarterbacks, but particularly when he's got to throw into coverage, he's been pretty careful. And I noticed that early in his career he would force the ball and have problems with interceptions mm-hmm. or with tip balls. That would end up as interceptions. And now you see fewer tip balls. You see him staying in the pocket. He does tend to drop back a little further than I would be comfortable with. But I see the Ravens frequently when they play the Steelers, because then I get to experience
right.
A game in that division, and my brother-in-law is a big Steelers fan, as are the rest of my relatives out in central Pennsylvania. Who are all rooting for my Eagles now? Suddenly the green is money instead of pond scum.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they, you know, everybody wants to get on the bandwagon when your team is winning.
No, see, that's not me. But and you were talking about Clinton Dix earlier. Now he did have an interception.
I think he's
Flacco.
An excellent player.
I mean, he really is. But again, I think, you know, I'm not so sure that he wasn't hurt. And so even though Matthews came back this last week, you know, he and Daniels has, you know, sometimes Daniels will, even though he doesn't get the sack, he will be part of it, or he will be someone who's really doing some great blocking. But as I said, I don't want to put it all on not having Peppers back, but I think Peppers made a much bigger impact on the team than anybody even expected when he came to the Packers. I mean, one of the things the Packers have not done traditionally is bring older players from other teams in. I mean, that when you think about it, so many of the Packers have been kind of homegrown
oh, yes.
talent. And but you know, so I think people wondered about Peppers when he first came to Green Bay, but boy, nobody wondered after he played there.
There's something to be said for nurturing your draft choices, which the Eagles certainly did, and it's paid off. The Yankees certainly did that with their rookies, and it paid off this season. Even with their second and third year guys, you're seeing a lot of people, a lot of these younger players really coming into their own. And quite frankly, nurturing your draft choices in the NFL means you're getting cheap players. You've got the cap space to go out and get that one free agent who can make a real difference, whether it's protecting a young quarterback or you know, a great running back, or somebody who's really a good pass blocker, or a great defensive cornerback or free safety or strong safety. Because the NFL has gotten to be such a skilled league that there's such a gap now between, I think, the guys who are the first-string pro bowlers and the guys who fill in for them. And that brings me to a point. Do you think football has kind of hit its high water mark as a professional sport? Because I'm noticing that more and more people are not permitting their kids to play contact sports. For years, football hit the concussion problem. We know hockey has been hiding it for years. Gary Bettman said the other day, hockey doesn't have a concussion problem, which, of course, is nonsense.
Oh, it is nonsense.
Additionally, the NHL is under a lot of pressure to eliminate fighting and turn it into more of the European-style game. And the big worry is that they're going to lose fans. Now, I can't see a lot of millennial kids wanting to play contact sports where they know they're going to have a risk of serious injury that could affect them in future life.
Oh, I don't know. I think it really depends. I think that in the Midwest, you know, as you know, I have a grandson who's playing junior hockey. I have a grandson here who plays, he's now in freshman football, and I know his mom, of course, is a diehard football fan, but she did tell him that one concussion and that's it. So even she, and I think we're all concerned, on the other hand, you know, you can, you know, trip on the stairs, you know, I think that they are much more careful now, and it is a concern. But let's hope that it's all, you know, I just don't see that football is going to change. I mean, you look at the college fans. I mean, a few weeks ago when I was in Wisconsin, we went to a Badger game, and, you know, they're full stadium. I don't know if you look at Michigan-Ohio State game, we watched that, and I mean, what is that stadium, 110,000 people?
It's a huge stadium.
The big house is huge, and of course that's a big rivalry. I mean, Michigan and Ohio State is huge. In fact, the Badgers will be playing Ohio State for that championship. I think it's tomorrow.
I think it is,
and,
too.
I think it is, too.
That's going to be a heck of a football
that
game.
That is, and it's going to be real tough. And, you know, just a standout player is Taylor from Salem, New Jersey, on the Badgers. I mean, he is just phenomenal. He really is. And apparently, nice kid, smart, and, of course, he had made, what do you call that, an initial commitment to Rutgers, and then had a chance to go to Wisconsin, and, you know, good choice, best choice.
Probably so. I mean, I think Wisconsin's a much better program. Rutgers is struggling again with their program. And, you know, Wisconsin looks like they're a bowl choice.
Well, it was pretty amazing. I mean, they've pulled some games out that you know, some of them have been close. One of the things about Wisconsin, and I think that they are not ranked higher because they were considered to have an easy schedule compared to a lot of other schools. And in fact,
But Wisconsin has shown that even against the, I'll call them less talented, less improved teams, they still managed to dominate those games.
Well, they do, but their schedule is, there's no question that the way they broke up the Big Ten, which is no longer 10 teams, obviously, but the Eastern, what do you call it? The Eastern, I don't know if they call it, it's a big, what do they call the Big Ten? The East and West.
Right, no, the Big 12.
You know, Wisconsin did have the easier schedule this year. I think that's why they weren't higher. But anybody can be knocked off. I mean, we've seen that in college. And I think the one thing that's always interesting is people have said to me, how come there's so many white guys on the Wisconsin team? Well, in large part, it's that
they recruit, because they're freezing cold.
No, in large part, they recruit from Wisconsin. And, you know, really, they, if you look at their roster, unlike some of the teams where, you know, they're all over, from all over the country, Wisconsin doesn't have that many players from other states, although there have been a number of players from New Jersey that have played for Wisconsin. So I think that the kids in New Jersey, the good players, know that that's a place they'll go. It'll be a good program. It'll be a great education. And so they're attracted, despite the fact that it's cold.
You know, it's always a surprise to me that there are so many bowl games and that a team with a 500 record gets considered for a bowl game. Now, my Temple Owls, I love them dearly, but they were 6-6 this year. They did not look good in a lot of games. But yet, Temple's in consideration for the Boca Raton Bowl on December 19th. The Bad Boys Mowers Gasparilla Bowl in St. Petersburg, Florida on December 21st, and the Hawaiian Bowl on the 24th, plus the Birmingham Bowl on December 23rd.
Well, but doesn't that say, and doesn't that show that, in fact, who plays in the toilet bowl this year? I mean, come on, there are so many bowls.
Remember, they were in the underwear bowl 2 years ago against Wyoming, and they won handily. It was some company who sponsored a bowl that made the fabric for cotton underwear. We used to call it the Underpants Bowl or the Skivvies Bowl. I don't understand why there are so many bowls. Are they really that profitable for those local areas?
I don't know. I mean, it's. I suppose there are fans that, there'll be Temple fans, that, especially if it's nice and warm wherever the bowl is held. Wisconsin, of course, Wisconsin fans travel. I mean, that is also important to some schools. I mean, you get Ohio State, you get TCU. Is that Texas Christian? The Horned Frogs?
Oh, they go anywhere.
They will, and I've mentioned this before, but they played Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl a few years ago, and it was amazing. I would say that probably almost three quarters of the stadium were Wisconsin fans, but still, their TCU has 8,000 students, and so that there were thousands and thousands of fans from TCU at that game, and of course they won.
Of course, and it's interesting. Some fans will travel. I think if Temple plays in St. Petersburg, Florida, certainly it's warm. It's a $100 airplane ride each way. Certainly you'll get a lot of fans because Florida is a great place to bask in the sun and then go watch a football game. And you'll be able to get tickets. Yeah,
that's the other thing. And they won't be that expensive.
Exactly. You'll get a $50 ticket, and you'll enjoy yourself, and you'll have a great long weekend. On the other hand, I have seen Nebraska fans fly all the way out to Pittsburgh, get in a car, drive to State College to watch their Cornhuskers play Penn State. I've sat in the stadium next to Nebraska fans, and I've also been in situations where, we were staying in southwestern Pennsylvania so we could see Frank Lloyd Wright's wonderful architectural masterpiece, Falling Waters, out in Uniontown, Pennsylvania, near Ohio Pyle State Park. And the bed and breakfast we stayed in was just loaded with Nebraska fans who had gone to see the Penn State game. And they had a 90-mile drive to Penn State and back just to, because they needed to find a place to stay. And so we had a nice time talking about football rivalries, and they were very disappointed and almost sympathetic. And gave me a great deal of empathy when they heard that I was a Temple University graduate. Midwesterners are nice people.
Well, that's true. That's true. And of course, the game we saw the weather is also amazing. I may have mentioned this, but it was 78 degrees on Saturday when we saw the Badgers, and it was homecoming. They played Maryland, and then the very next day, it was raining and in the low 40s when I watched Huntley. That was, of course, his first game because Rogers was out in the Minnesota game. In any event, it was cold and, 40 low 40s and rain. is cold, believe
me. Well, what do you think requires more guts and endurance of a Green Bay fan? 40 degrees, rain, and a driving 20-mile-an-hour wind, or 10 degrees, snow, and a driving 20-mile-an-hour wind?
Give me that snow and any time. I mean, it seems to me that, you know, when you get cold and damp, it's just, you know, if you know it's going to be cold and you know it's going to be snowing or cold or just cold, you know, you put the foot warmers in, you put the hand warmers in, if it's really cold, you wear the ski mask, mm-hmm. and, you know, you're prepared.
And what kind of antifreeze do you bring with you to drink during the game, Pat?
Well, you used to, I think I've said this before, when I was a kid.
I don't want to hear about cocoa.
No. When I was a kid, the flask went to everybody, including the kids.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I don't know how anybody ever drove home after those games.
I think the Wisconsin State Police must give a special dispensation to people driving home from Packer games.
Well, all I can tell you is, actually, though, one time I remember I went to a game with five of the guys. I think there were five of them. Five guys from my hometown. And I was a designated driver. They were at least smart enough to do that. And, of course, we stopped at every single bar from Green Bay to Jefferson, the small town that I lived in. And believe me, every one of these small towns had at least two bars. So,
you know,
bar on every corner.
The only bad thing I can say about people from Wisconsin who are football fans is that they like Jägermeister. How can anybody drink that stuff?
I don't know.
I can't decide whether it's booze, aftershave, or something to get the paint off your car.
No, it's, you know, it's fun, and we've talked before about how much fun it is to go to Lambeau. And, you know, we've also talked, and I really love to talk, and I think you and I sometime have to go to Soldier Field.
I would love to go to Soldier Field and see Bears, Eagles, or Bears, Packers. Soldier Field, I'm told, is right in one of those parks on Lake Michigan. It's easy to get to. It's one of the older stadiums in the NFL. It's been refurbished. And it looks like fun. And I must take this call, so I'm going to step out, folks.
Okay. And we're about ready to end the show. So bye, Bill, and let's pay a couple of spots. I'm sorry that John didn't come in because we really wanted to spend time talking about the Giants and what they did to Eli Manning. Personally, I think it was a rotten thing for them to do, and to not have him start and possibly take him out of the game. But, you know, after all the years that Eli has spent there, I think that was really a very unfortunate way that they handled it. So we'll play a couple spots, and then you'll be on Rewind.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115.